You are listening to PLV Radio Network. Join us in celebrating all of life's possibilities with inspirational, illuminating, and insightful talk shows. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Positive Living Vibrations with your host, myself, Sarah Troy, and my guest today, Isabella Niewiadomska. I hope I pronounced that right. She is a Polish lady who now lives in England. And we're going to be talking about not only her health challenges today, but what it takes to leave your country and go to another country and start all over again. I'm English-speaking. I've done this on two occasions, emigrated to new countries, and even I found it difficult because you've got to adjust to new cultures, new ways of living, and people looking at you differently because you're the outsider. When you don't speak the language, it's even harder. And not only that, when she did decide to go to England and the opportunity came for her to do so, she discovered she was pregnant. So pregnant in England with not much English, she went and she formed a new life for herself. But we're going to discover a little bit of the background and why she went and moved to England and what her life was there, how it's changed her life around completely. She's been with Herbalife for 22 years, which I'm sure everybody has heard of that, made a very good life for herself, and plus loves the passion of helping people get well and find healing not only in their bodies but in their minds, hearts, and souls. She's a very vibrant woman with exuberance energy, and clearly Herbalife has been working for her, because if you look at her, she looks incredibly young and has the metabolic age of a 19-year-old. She's doing something right. So let's tap into that and let's share it and let's discover what we can do to help our own lives through the journey of Isabella. Welcome to the show, Isabella.
Yes, hello. How are you, Sarah?
I'm doing great. I'm looking at this picture of you, which is very, very vibrant. And also the one with your son. And so clearly, you know, life is agreeing with you. What happened in Poland that made you want to go to England, and especially, you know, discovering you were pregnant, and going over there as a stranger and everything else? I mean, tell us about your Polish life.
Well, I think I was in a way blessed when I was in Poland. A lot of things that were going my way. I was the only child brought up by lovely, caring parents who right now, nearly over 50 years married together, they still hold their hands, they love each other, they argue with each other, they just love each other to bits. But they had a lot of love and passion and caring, and they kind of installed that in me. So I was really blessed to grow up in a sort of like a very loving environment. Since my early days, to be honest with you, I was really fascinated by English culture. When I was 12, I started to read Shakespeare, and I was actually in a position to quote some of his plays and his poems, and especially love poems. I just love them, all those sonnets. And I've enjoyed reading books, everything in relation to England, especially the era of the Elizabeth III, the First, and so many other things. But obviously, I was learning English when I was just growing up. However, to be honest with you, I wasn't really paying that much attention to that particular learning. I was really enjoying life, always looking for new ways to get some new experiences. Initially, I wanted to be a lawyer because my father was a lawyer. Everybody thought that I've got a very sharp, analytical, logical brain. And I thought maybe I could be a lawyer, but somehow it didn't work out. I was already writing for freelance for newspapers when I was still a teenager, and somehow I just pursued that career and educated myself in that field. So when I started to work actually as a journalist, and I was also involved in an organization where I was kind of serving as a PR for the national youth organization, my life was pretty unbalanced, let's put it that way. I was trying to eat healthily, but I was not living really a healthy lifestyle. I was smoking heavily. I used to drink quite heavily in a social way. Sometimes it was a way to loosen people up to get a good interview, to be honest.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So,
have you had your glass of wine today?
Lovely raspberry tea right now, as we. But I thought I was young and my body could cope with that. I was very active. I used to hike and go every possible moment. I was just running away and going to the mountains and very close to nature. I realized very early that being close to nature was having a very relaxing, peaceful effect on me. I was really true to myself at the time. So combination of those stressful, busy activities with unhealthy smoking and drinking, not sleeping enough, writing till late or till early in the morning, being stressed because always there were deadlines. And sometimes it was a lot of frustration when you wrote something you felt good about and then you pick up the paper and you realize it'd been changed. And suddenly people were coming to me saying, why did you write that way? We didn't talk about it that way. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to explain that I was not in, I didn't have the final word or I wasn't in power to make the changes. And just to obviously remind you, when I was just being a journalist, Poland was still part of the communist bloc. So there were certain implications of what you could write,
yes,
how you could write. So in my heart, I enjoyed working with people. People fascinate me, but I was kind of trapped and not entirely happy because of those limitations. One day I was on a trip related to work in Germany, and there was a big cultural event and lots of people, lots of tents with different foods, music. And at some point I realized that something strange was happening to me. I felt kind of like tingling in my hands, in my legs, and suddenly I just felt completely like my legs were getting numb. I just couldn't move. I wanted to say something to my friend and I realized I cannot speak. My tongue went completely like a block of wood. And the next thing I remember, I woke up in the hospital and I couldn't move at all and I couldn't speak for a while. I was told that I suffered from a very severe panic attack related to stress and exhaustion. That wasn't a pleasant
experience. Yeah.
I have to say, because I completely thought that I was dying. I had no clue what was happening to me.
It sounds so much like a heart attack as well, too, yeah. You know, stroke, yeah.
And it didn't help that previously I already had a little bit of claustrophobia, so I wasn't always coping well with big crowds and sort of like a small spaces. So suddenly I was in Germany, and I didn't speak any German. And I was surrounded by those doctors. There was a translator, a friend of mine, and someone from the organization that I was with. And they were trying to make sure that everything is okay. I had to actually stay a day longer in the country than the other people. And it wasn't really a pleasant experience, but it was sort of like an alarm, like a wake-up call, which unfortunately, you know how it is. Sometimes you get these little nudges, the kind of warnings from life, but you don't always pay attention to them.
And then, and if you don't, you get the hatchet in the head.
Exactly. So when I got back to Poland, I kind of got better. I thought, okay, I need to eat more, sleep better, and drink more water, and I will be fine. My body is strong and young, and I will be like that forever. And another attack came. So that stopped being funny. I had to start to take time off work. I couldn't cope with the pressure, with stress. And I was put on quite heavy medication that they were just forcing me to rest, to sleep. So I felt like a zombie. I felt like a bit of a lunatic. And I didn't like the side effects of those medications. So I had to really come to serious decisions what I'm going to do. first thing I did, it was to start to look at some other options to help myself. Family member knew about some monks in Poland who were having sort of like a herbal pharmacy, and they were helping people through herbal treatments to improve their health, well-being, and especially stress. So I obviously decided to try that. And you should see me in the kitchen three times a day brewing different types of herbs, one for 10 minutes, one for 5 minutes. I felt like a little witch in the house. But it was just slightly helping, and I thought, okay, that's great. So that's better. But it wasn't obviously resolving the main problem, the cause of everything, which was and the type of work I was involved in, and people I was surrounded by. I had great friends. I'm fabulous connections. I had a good career. I've been known. So I really felt I've made it.
Yes,
put it that way. And I was dealing with lots of very important people, high-ranking people, and with celebrities and political kind of personas. And I thought I was just kind of a successful person, but the price was too high to pay for that. So I decided that possibly I should look for another career. Now, if you work in a profession for a while, if this is your passion, you kind of don't know what to do. What else can I do? What else can I learn? And I thought, okay, maybe now is the time to refresh my English. And obviously speaking other languages gives you more possibilities. And luckily at the time I had a great uncle who, after the war, stayed in the UK, married a lovely Welsh lady. And sometimes he was coming to Poland, so I really liked him and he liked me, and I thought I could come and visit him. Now, as Poland was not part of EU at that time, coming over to England wasn't that easy.
Yeah.
Twice I was refused my visa, and then eventually when I received my provisional visa, which allowed you to enter, to come to the border of the United Kingdom, and then it was in the hands of the immigration officer whether you'll be in a position to come in or not, or go back to your country. So you had to enter the country on a certain date. So when I received my provisional visa, it was kind of interesting. A couple of days later, I realized I was pregnant.
Yes, timing.
Big dilemma. What would I do? And but my friends, they know that I'm probably not entirely, maybe normal, really crazy person jumping at challenging myself, probably, and jumping on different opportunities and daring myself to do sometimes people might think impossible or just crazy things. And I thought, well, if I got my visa right now and I was refused twice before, that's probably simply to me, it was I was meant to go.
Yes.
Pregnant or not,
yeah.
I was meant to go. I didn't plan to stay. I wanted to go for 3 weeks to visit my uncle. I paid for my English course, and the plan was to come back. So on the day that it was scheduled, I arrived to the United Kingdom. I was really lucky. After yet another grueling interview, I was permitted to enter the country on a student visa. I was going to meet my uncle at Victoria Station. Apparently, the coach that I arrived on ended up in another location, so I didn't meet up with my uncle, believe it or not, me pregnant in another country with a huge suitcase. Late in the evening, my broken English that I've tried to use to somehow communicate and get together to see my uncle didn't work out because we didn't meet. I ended up getting by myself a train to Littlehampton, arriving late at night, and then I was picked up by my uncle. So adventure straight away started.
Yes.
But somehow I knew it was part of my destiny. I didn't have to explain that. Later I had some challenges with my pregnancy, and because I had this claustrophobia and I had blood pressure, so it wasn't advisable for me to fly or to go back to the country. So I decided to stay until my son was born. So my husband followed me, and pretty soon I somehow, I don't know, it just, it's difficult to say, I just realized that I should be here. I didn't want to go back to Poland. Now, it was a very difficult decision because none of our qualifications were recognized here in the UK. My husband could speak fluent Polish and German, but none of the English. I could speak fluent Russian and Polish, but very little English. So he was a vet, a qualified veterinary surgeon with a great career back in Poland. I was a journalist, and then we were here trying to do the jobs to survive and somehow feeling that we should make our life in this country. So that was this part. And to be perfectly honest with you, life wasn't really easy. But I think I have this spirit of an adventure. I'm never afraid of something that is hard. I think it just makes you stronger. The challenges, the something that you have to struggle with, it just sharpens your character, sharpens your personality, your skills, and it just helps you to become more, if that makes sense, basically.
100%, because, you know, until we do challenge ourselves, we have no idea what we're capable of. I've done things in this last 10 years where most people would be retiring and winding down. I went on adventures in directions that had me living out of my car, that, you know, has had things and that I never thought I would ever, ever do. But it's led to me doing what I am doing now. So I am in the right place, but I had to go through the journey to get there. And when you know that you're in the right place, you're willing to go through whatever it takes to get there and face those challenges. For you, you knew the UK was your home. It spoke to you. So whatever it needed you to do to stay there, you were going to do.
Exactly. And there was no logical explanation for that, because my parents, they were a little bit ashamed that I was there in another country going through the hard times, and I had no one around to help me out here apart from obviously my husband and myself. I developed very quickly good friends, so they were kind of little uncles and aunties for my son when needed.
Yes.
So it was a nice and friendly environment. And because my son was very, very cheerful from the beginning, everybody really loved to be around him. So he was sort of like a troubled little child. When I look back, it seemed like with the panic attacks, until someone experiences serious panic or anxiety attack, you can't really understand, and the logic doesn't play any role in why people behave in a certain way. It's just at that particular time you are just outside of logic, outside of anything and everything that could have a clear explanation why you should behave like this or that, and think positive at the time. It doesn't work. You just have to go through the process of really self-healing and managing your thoughts, your well-being, your breathing, your everything about you, to start to control the process. And I've been really a very eager student, I have to say. When I moved to the UK, although my panic attacks were under control, I still had to carry a bag full of medications, little pharmacy in my bag. Mm-hmm. In case something happened to me, I wouldn't have to then struggle how to explain that to someone in broken English, that this is what's happening to me, so this is what I need to take, and this is what might happen to me, so this is what you should be doing with me.
Yeah.
I prefer to have this bag. If I didn't have the bag, I would get a panic attack straight away.
There we have our little Westie in the background, letting us know something's going on.
Someone at the door was just trying to get. And and every time I was getting a panic attack, I was in the hospital. So that wasn't really pleasant experience in paper form.
No.
So I was constantly looking and searching, reading books, studying nutrition, studying the yoga, meditation, finding ways to improve myself. The minute I improved my English, I was reading everything in English with dictionaries on both sides. to obviously learn every time I spoke, and I knew that I might be making mistakes or I didn't understand something. I was asking what it is, what does it mean? My English is still not perfect, but I try to talk fast so people don't notice that.
Your English is perfectly good. Don't you worry about it.
Thank you. And so I was kind of accumulating a range of skills how to help myself. But I knew something was missing. I had no idea what was missing. I knew already I need to work on my mind. I was just trying to do that. But I knew there were other things that they were also important. I thought it was nutrition, but I realized I didn't know enough. So I was studying more. And I was really lucky to come across Herbalife on September day, Sunday actually, in 1992. I was leaving Polish church in Patnay, and there was someone outside standing giving leaflets. And you know, people give out leaflets, we usually take to find out what's all about. Maybe it's something good for us. And I picked up that leaflet, and when I look at it, it was handwritten, photocopied, cut with scissors, and it was saying, "International company is looking for bilingual people to help with the expansion of health and nutrition company." So I thought, okay, I'm bilingual. I'm interested in health and nutrition. But at the time, I had a job. I had some work. And so I wasn't really interested for myself. My husband went on a short trip to Poland, and I knew when he was coming back, he wouldn't have a job at all. So I thought, okay, let's find out. Maybe this will be for him. I called the number. And there was lovely, actually, Polish gentleman.
how fate works, right?
Exactly. Telling me about this fantastic company that young gentleman started because he lost his mum, who was trying to lose weight, and then she had some problems. And then he decided to find a natural, healthy way to help people, not just to lose weight, but to improve health and wellness without any drugs, hormones, or medication, but through good nutrition. And it just kind of sounded great. I was already a young mom. My son was 18 months old at the time. So I kind of felt this connection, young son, mom dying, health and wellness. I was not healthy. So I kind of related to that. And I thought, okay, I'll go to a presentation. I'll come along and I'll just find out what it's all about. I went to a presentation. And just to cut the long story short, I saw a few people who are sharing great results on the products, and just because they improve the healthy and active lifestyle, drink water, they were taking Herbalife, and they certain things they were better, they lost some weight, they felt energetic. So it was really great. And I saw people also from all different walks of life, different nationalities, men, women, single, married, divorced, whatever. Mm-hmm. Housewives to lawyers, from secretaries to obviously other professions. And these people, they were making money with this company. So I thought, okay, I'm not stupid. Maybe I can learn a little bit to improve my life. And my son was really my inspiration. I wanted to create something better for him. And I also wanted to improve my health and well-being. My mom also wasn't very well. She was already after 5 cancer-related operations. So I just thought maybe I could embrace this new concept business, help people through good nutrition and help myself with my life at the same time. It just sounded like a good idea. But there were a few challenges as well. When I think about it, people take a lot of things for granted these days. Because when I decided to join and have a business, be a businesswoman, work from home, doing still other jobs, but starting something part-time, I mean, first of all, I didn't have any legal right to do that. So it was a challenge in itself. I was allowed to study and have some little jobs, but I was not really allowed to have a business in this country. I didn't speak great English at the time, but to top that up, I didn't have a bank account, which meant I didn't have a credit card or a checkbook. And in fact, I was brought up in Poland, not understanding what exactly how that works, the checkbook and credit card and everything. I didn't have a telephone either. So I started to work on a payphone. Just imagine right now, run a business and not have a telephone. And we lived in a house in that there were rooms, shared bathrooms on the corridors. And so luckily I was living on the ground floor in a room which was our bathroom, bedroom, sitting room, kitchen, and we shared the bathroom with other people on the corridor. And there was a payphone on the corridor. So can you imagine, I had two scripts to follow. One, if someone called me about the products, and one, if someone called me about the business. So every time I was at home and the phone rang, I was the first one running to that payphone with both scripts in my hands, not knowing, first of all, whether the phone was for me or not, and which script I should be using. And half of the time, even when the phone was for me, people were putting the phone down because they couldn't bear with my foreign accent. And so I had to really work extremely hard to make sure that eventually someone would listen to me when I finished to read this script and kind of try to communicate with people. And so it was a very, very interesting beginning to my business career. But I think once people listened to me, they could hear my excitement, my passion. So even if they didn't understand what I was talking about, they were making a note of coming to a presentation or being up at a certain place so I could use help of my coaches who were working with me and helping me to with the communications and completing the sale or to with someone or just getting them into the business. So it was a lot of fun and a lot of sometimes tears of frustration, I have to say.
But you persisted. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, you persisted.
The bottom line is I was so excited. I thought I was just lucky to find a company that is truly trying to make a difference in people's lives. I was really annoyed and angry initially when I was talking to my friends or family members and they didn't get it. And they were not understanding why they should be using balanced nutrition, adding some supplements and feel better. I just couldn't get it. Now, later I realized that you can't force people to do anything.
Yes.
When they are ready, they are ready. The only thing I could do is just to show them my passion, my excitement, my results, and my belief that what I'm doing is making sense. And I'm really about helping people, not just the profit to make. It was kind of more to me to give more because I knew somehow when I give, then I will get my rewards in the due course.
Yes.
Somehow. But I was just kind of crazily excited. And I think my excitement scared some people off initially. I was just like too much for people. And people in the UK, they are more settled, laid back, kind of, and someone who hugs and kind of use very expressive words is perceived maybe just hold on a little bit and don't go too far with that. But results, they were great. And I felt fantastically well on the products and my life started to improve. And I was excited about bringing health and well-being to people. And once they were working with me, even they realized that my ink wasn't great, but they could see my passion and they felt the difference once they implemented the advice alongside with the product, with the supplementation. So it was really lifting me up. And I started to wake up before the alarm clock, which was unheard of before. My days, they were longer. Now, what happened one day? Because I started to make those changes into my lifestyle. Obviously, way back, I quit smoking. I used to smoke 40 strong Polish cigarettes a day.
Ooh, yeah. Not good.
I can't imagine how bad I was before. And so I quit that. I obviously reduced drinking to the point of almost not drinking, just really red wine occasionally. I just realized that my body was not coping with that anymore. Well, probably I've had enough in my life.
Yes.
I'm really happy already, so I don't need much. And I started to drink more water. My whole lifestyle, diet and activities improved. And obviously, I was taking the supplementations, all the good balanced nutrition from Herbalife products as well. So one day, I went out and I realized that I forgot my bag of medications. And guess what?
No panic.
no panic. And I kind of felt completely liberated, completely free of that trauma, this kind of like a big headache that I'm not entirely well, that you know, some people don't like to talk about panic attacks. They kind of think it's a bad thing to talk about it. But that's, you know, a lot of people suffer from that these days.
Yes.
And I realized when I speak with people and I share with them what I have done to control it, what I have done to make sure that I master it, because my immune system is still very fragile. I have to make sure that I really look after it very well. And it does require extra work and effort. And so once I share it with people and I see that they also get better, I feel really, really very, very happy about that. I just feel that all my struggles, they were meant to for me to go through so that I can give more back to people. And
we say all the time to everybody I interview is that if you had to turn it back, you know, back the clock, do anything differently, because obviously hindsight is, you know, great sight, but everyone says no, because through the challenges, through the anxieties, through the suffering, you have learned not only the tools, but the appreciation, the gratitude, and the understanding of what your purpose is in life. You had to go through that for it to bring you to where you are now.
And you know what? What sometimes, not that I get frustrated, but it's kind of like an observation. I meet with people and I remember my son was 18 months old when I got started. And I meet people who have children who are even slightly older, and they make their children an excuse why they shouldn't do something to improve their lives.
Uh-huh.
Should do something to get themselves better or get extra skills. They say, oh, I've got children, I can't do that. And when I look back, you know, because I didn't have the credit card or a checkbook or any other payment, I had to pay by cash. The products at the time, they were available to pick up as well from the warehouse that was placed in Slough, which is 20 miles from London. So there I was sometimes even twice a week traveling with my son, with his baggy, you know, a pusher, whatever you like to call it, with a big rucksack on my shoulder, on my back, traveling.
You were a herb dealer.
Yeah. I was traveling on the underground, on the train, then on the bus, to Slough, to the warehouse, packing up all the products, paying cash, and going back. And then I was doing that for 8 years.
Wow.
Because it took me 8 years to establish myself to the point that bank was happy to give me first a
8 years, my goodness.
And then later I had my first check guarantee card. God, I was excited.
I'm legitimate.
checkbook. So, believe it or not, the amount of financial mistakes I've made the minute all these facilities that were given to me.
Yes.
I lost lots of money, including the fact that I didn't realize initially that when someone writes you a check, you should write down their check guarantee card and double check how much the card covers. So I was accepting people's checks on large amounts of money, sums of money, and there were guarantee cards that were not covering that, and they were disappearing afterwards with products, and I had no money and no products left.
Yes.
So it was kind of
a hard lesson, yes. And you were doing it in trust and good faith, and there's always people out there that don't know anything about that.
And I think that sometimes doesn't work that well.
Yeah.
Hard lessons. I still trust people, but I'm kind of more knowledgeable.
Yes, a little more of a guarantee. Now, besides, you know, nobody uses checks anymore, or at least they don't over here. So you have these little machines now that you can get to receive payments from. So it's more instant and so much more safeguarding.
Exactly. I mean, the technology has progressed. At the time when I didn't have a telephone, the state of art of technology was to have a fax machine.
Yes.
So I was kind of thinking, gosh, if I had a fax, how much faster I would move with my business. But there you are. Now everything is just available, and still people make excuses why they can't do something.
I was with a nutritional company here in Canada, an American company, and, you know, I will contribute it to changing my health around completely, because my health was just dire at the time, and really all the warning bells were going off is that the road I was going down on, I wouldn't get much longer. And, you know, I kind of just stopped going to my doctor, got onto these nutritionals. And I hadn't seen anybody in this nutritional company for 3 months through the summer. And I went to a meeting in the September, and the head of this nutritional company was there, and he was asking questions, and I was answering them, and I was... And eventually they said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Sarah." And he's like, "What happened to you?" And I said, "Your nutritional's over 3 months." And I'd lost 2 dress sizes. I was healthy. I suffer from asthma, and my asthma was in control. I mean, so much about my health. I used to be on like anything from 6 to 8 antibiotics a year. I hadn't been on antibiotics in ages. Now it's probably every 2 years, maybe I have to go on it for something. It just changed my health around completely, and which changes your mindset. I don't think people realize sometimes that you need to do that nutritional introduction into your body for it to change your whole thinking. So you need that. Yeah. You need the thinking to say, "I'm going to give this a try," and do it diligently. And then when the nutritionals get in there, your whole thinking becomes clearer.
Yes. And to be perfectly honest with you, as you said, whether I would change anything, no. I feel really grateful that I met Herbalife, because it enabled me to start to work with people, work as a wellness coach. And I gradually became almost like a well-being advisor or consultant among my clients, because I was utilizing my other skills and things I've learned to help myself in my practice as a wellness coach. Working with Herbalife, but the power of nutrition is immense, and yes. People don't really appreciate it. 80% of our wellness is down to nutrition, 20% to activity, but I always say 100% is a mindset.
Yes.
And it's really interesting, because every day I work with people and I come across people who are even well educated, and they think they eat a healthy and balanced diet, and most of the time they don't even get the 100% of the daily recommended allowance of nutrients that is recommended for us every day by World Health Organization.
You can't get it through the food, because the food is not growing that way anymore. You know, back in our forefathers, the soil was enriched with nutrients. And so when you did eat the food, you stayed healthy. We don't have that anymore. It's depleted. We have to subsidize. We have to.
And people don't understand that as a part of the 21st century diet or lifestyle, or I don't like the diet word, because people associate it with losing weight, but kind of healthy living, healthy lifestyle. It's really embracing the supplementation on a daily basis, in a consistent way. It's not an option, "Oh, I sometimes take supplements." It has to be taken every day if people really would like to be ensured that they are getting everything. Because 100% of RDA is just the basic minimum to prevent malnutrition. The body needs much more than that.
Yes.
And people don't realize that. And sometimes they're confused what to do, what to eat. And they say, "Combine this, don't combine that." And I say, well, at the end of the day, all those combination or separation is in addition to what the body needs every day to function, to reproduce the healthy cells, to build the healthy muscle in muscle mass, to build healthy organs, to produce the healthy neurotransmitters in our brain so we can memorize, we can have this, the healthy immune system, and so many things. And people think eating fruit and vegetables is enough, or not eating junk food that it's enough, and it's just so much more into that.
Yeah.
So every day when I do my free consultations, I help people to recognize, I do the full body scanning, and I help them to recognize what do they do that is already right. And most of them, they already do the right things, but they don't do enough of it.
Yeah.
Not consistently enough. So by tuning a little bit, some elements, they can have dramatic results. So it's not really changing your life upside down. It's just understanding what else I could do, how else I can balance my day, how to start to have a good, healthy, balanced breakfast that will be packed with protein, balanced carbohydrates, with some fiber, with water, things that they need to be given the body in the morning after all the work it's done day before, and at night after all the regeneration.
Yes.
But it needs all that to start and have a good, fast metabolism to serve you for another day, for another 24 hours. And unfortunately, people are very busy. So what they do, they grab a coffee and maybe a muffin or something in the morning, or nothing. Or they have the carbohydrates-based breakfast, or kind of two fattening breakfast and not really properly balanced, not with the complete protein and etc., not with all the vitamins and minerals that the body needs. And they wonder afterwards, why do I feel tired?
Yeah.
Why do I feel this way and that way? Why I can't perform better? Why I'm starting to gain weight? I don't need that much. I eat very little. And I say, well, that's the problem. You don't eat enough throughout the day, not frequently enough.
Yeah.
And so raising the awareness, how to really embrace the healthy, active lifestyle, you as a person, as a family member, as a mother, as a wife, as a leader in the community, as a person at the workplace or in your business, regardless who you are, it's really essential. So I see my role through what I do and still being involved with Herbalife that provides me with the most updated, latest science and training that it's second to none, allows me to deliver the right information to people. I mean, really, privilege to even attend regular trainings with a Nobel Prize winner in medicine. I mean, how often normally people get the chance like that,
yeah,
to work closely and to get access to a person of that caliber and to listen to the training and to follow his research and his footsteps and be ambassador of health and well-being in the community. So I feel really very privileged.
I think what people need to understand is that you are with yourself to the day you die. The quality of life that you have is how you maintain this vessel that you are living in. And if you do not look after it mentally, emotionally, physically, or vibrationally, it's going to let you down. It's going to break down. And, yeah, you know, in your case of the stress, that was clearly the universe telling you, in understanding the panattacks, you understand other people that are in some realm of the same thing. But it was also telling you you were in the wrong direction and you needed to be somewhere else in life. But we have to listen to not our bodies. We have to listen to our mind, our spirits, our heart and soul. And we have to nurture this vessel that we're in because it's carrying us. If we don't look after it, it's not going to be able to be around for very long.
Yeah, very right, Sarah. And I've been always very intuitive. I'm very sensitive, very intuitive person. So I always follow my gut feeling in make decisions. But the mindset is crucial. I'm really glad that we are getting into this topic because sometimes we don't understand when we talk about mindset. I remember when I joined Herbalife, I was introduced to the teachings of Jim Rohn. And for many years, he's been my mentor, or he had been my mentor. Now he passed away about 5 years ago. His books and programs, they are still with me and I still listen to him. But the phrase that he used when I started was, for things to change, you've got to change. For things to get better, you've got to get better. Now, I didn't really understand the full meaning of that.
Or the simplicity of it.
And yeah. I think to get better, it means I have to be a better person. It was my initial understanding. And I didn't realize how much actually we have to work on ourselves, our way of thinking, our way of acting to things that happen to us, our attitude, how we see people, how we project ourselves as well. And I think there were a lot of people that contributed to my development in that area. I remember when I went to the Tony Robbins training I learned how to get from one state to another. And I remember literally when I was facing challenging situation or even at home, I was going upstairs to the bathroom and I was just trying to change my state quickly, come back downstairs and implement what I have learned so I can control my thinking and my state. It just a lot of things. I remember probably the biggest breakthrough for me was studying Wayne Dyer.
And yeah, I like Wayne Dyer, definitely.
Manifesting Your Destiny. That program really taught me how to not to be a victim, how stop blaming people for my circumstances, for things that happened to me. And there were lots of things happening in my personal life. This is not the time, obviously, to go through that. So I really embraced those teachings. I was really hungry for understanding, for knowledge. And I've maintained it all the way throughout the years, and it helped me tremendously, but also enabled me to gather the skills, the mindset that now it's not that I help myself on a regular basis, but I can help others. And I think that's something I feel always very grateful for. And it's almost like this constant study, constant never-ending improvement, like Tony Robbins.
But that thing is, you know, we don't stop and, you know, think, oh, wow, I know it all, I can rest on my laurels. There is always something to learn every day. And that's what's the beauty of it, the wonderment and the venture of it. And there is always improvement with ourselves. But that doesn't mean, you know, that there's something wrong with us. It's just that through that knowledge, we learn more about ourselves, how helping other people helps ourselves. But also how placing importance upon yourself and your own health, your own well-being, being abundant within yourself, you become of more service to other people.
Exactly. And the recent realization that kind of happened to me, it was through reading a book by John DeMartini, The Breakthrough Experience and the Dual Effect of Our Personalities and Our Beings, and how meeting someone that challenges us is actually a good thing.
Oh, yes.
Because pay attention and learn the things that we haven't mastered within ourselves yet, that we haven't loved in ourselves yet. And by us getting annoyed because we see those things in other person mirroring our part of us, is just really a good thing. It was really great, great discovery and realization what else I've got still to work on.
There's always something to work on, but you know that again, it doesn't mean something wrong with you. It just means there's always something that you can learn to make your life better. Exactly. And you know, what we're really looking for is to be at peace with ourselves and in our own situations, to live in a harmony that is just, you know, a simple, beautiful, harmonious energy, which has no time, no, you know, no other worldly substance. It's just a beautiful harmonic abundance, and we can get there when we do unite mind, heart, soul, and spirit together, and when we place that importance upon ourselves, like looking after this vessel, looking after our mind, understanding our organic and genetic mind and how that thinks, and the people around you. You know, it's making sure you're around the right energetic people around you. And I don't mean physically energetic. I mean, you know, emotionally and vibrationally energetic people that are there doing the same thing in their own way, embettering their own lives so they can embed the lives of others around them. And yes, through that vibration, we actually become the solution that this world is seeking.
Exactly. The contribution is just, we've got so much to contribute. I'm really excited about the new work that I'm scheduled right now doing. I'm booked for providing workshops for parents in schools in Southeast London on the topics of how to handle stress, combination of personal development and nutrition. And there's been already a great interest in that. So I feel really excited about it, which will be followed by my work that I want to do in schools as well with parents for nutrition, and to help them to realize the connection between the power of nutrition and children's ability to learn better, to have a healthy family, and so many others.
But you know, stress is the number one killer. It's the absolutely top of the board there, because then stress manifests the diseases and the illnesses. And, you know, when we get that stress under control, which we can do with having an open mind, receiving the information that's relevant to us, not taking things personally, the all four agreements, and also nutritionalizing our body. When our body isn't in distress, our mind is calmer. When our mind is calmer, our body is calmer. So, you know, when you work on the two together, and especially at a young age, you know, those kids living more harmonic, they're not going to get bullied so much in school. They're going to thrive at their education. They're more confident in the way they treat each other. They're going to know kindness towards one another and collaboration. We're coming out of an era of combative and competitive, and we're coming into an era of cohesive and collaboration. And if we can teach that to our children and the nurturing of their body and their minds, we have a better chance at survival as a human race.
Totally agree with you, and I feel really blessed that my son when he was 18 months old, I started to feed him with Herbalife nutrition, and now he works with me part-time as a wellness coach.
Well, I see this picture of him with you, and there's nothing unhealthy looking at him there. So, a strapping son. So, good. Because then he recognizes the value, right?
Yes.
You know, and that's the whole point is... We can't escape it. I know people would like to with fast food and download apps and pop a pill and abstain from it, but we can't escape it. This body needs to move, so you need to find some sort of movement you can do that you enjoy and that benefits your body. Our minds have to be open to receive and not fear-based or panic-based. We have to know that we have to invest not only in the body, in the mind, with knowledge that's going to feed us nutritionally and emotionally. We have to understand that if we want to have any form of quality of life, we have to set aside X amount of time every day to be working on ourselves. You know, forming a form of meditation, of exercise, of good nutrition, and really nurturing this body for us to have a good quality life, no matter what you do.
Exactly.
There's no shortcuts, is there?
No shortcuts, absolutely not. And more people realize that. I mean, we can just really make a difference. One person at a time. I love working with individuals, but I'm working also with groups, with organizations, and I just completely love it. I completely love it. I wouldn't change a thing. And I always say, I don't think I will ever retire.
But you're not working. You know, when you're doing something you love, you're participating. You're not really working. That's the thing. You know, it's because you enjoy it so much, it feeds you every day.
Very true. Very true.
Now, you were recently interviewed by the Migrant Woman magazine. I was interviewed there back in, actually, October. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, quite a delight to be interviewed. And the Migrant Woman we're affiliated with here at PLV Radio. And I've interviewed Muriel Sula, who the founder and the editor on there, as well as Gabrielle, whom I see you in the picture with her interview. And, you know, both of us are celebrating people who are immigrants, but also migrants from their life and willing to take a chance and embrace those challenges and follow their true path in life. We both celebrate that. She does it in the written form, and of course I do it through the audio for the interview, audio form. Tell us of your experience of being interviewed by the Migrant.
Well, it was a great experience. I've lived here for 24 years, and somehow, until I met Mirella, I never thought about myself as a migrant. I kind of try to have my Polish past and in my heart and my present in the UK, so kind of combining both. I feel both Polish and English in heart. And I found it really enlightening. It just helped me to look at myself and other women who live in this country and they were not born in the UK in a different way. And I think it's about understanding that we are all together in it. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
We are all the same. We are all equal. And our role is basically to find our own passions and just give something to people, to the community. And regardless where you come from, where you live, what language you speak, we are all important, and we all have a beautiful role.
I mean, Mirella is Iranian, Gabrielle is Italian, you're Polish, but none of you came from a background where you had to run from your country, you know, due to political or any itinerary. You all made the choice to come to the UK to seek a life and stayed. And so, you know, it's quite extraordinary because, you know, a lot of people, they make choices to move to countries, but in today's environment, and especially in Europe, there's a lot of people leaving their countries out of the fear of living there. Mm. So, you know, coming across people who've made that choice to live in the UK because of what the UK can give them, and indeed thrive and discover themselves and their purpose in life, is truly wonderful. And it's good to see migrant women coming together who've not only faced the challenge of coming to a new country, new language, a new systems, new diet, you know, new everything, but also finding their purpose and their niche and really thriving. It's really lovely to see.
And it's brilliant that we are connecting right now with each other.
Yes.
So we can support each other, help each other, build new friendships that they are very fulfilling straight away from the start. We've got sort of like an instant understanding and kind of a feel for each other immediately.
A camaraderie.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really, really nice. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't even leave their town or their village. You know, their whole lives are spent there, and it's, you know, it's, there's so much out there in life. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to migrate somewhere.
No.
But when we're talking about migration, it's also not emigration, it's about migrating from your comfort zone or from your fear zone, or just because, you know, fear is a lack of knowledge. When we have that knowledge, we are much less fearful over the situation. Mm. And you know, we are no longer, as I said, in that society of fright and flight. You know, we're now in that new realm of, you know, that conscious cohesiveness of coming together and realizing that united, we are a force of positive energy to be reckoned with.
Very true. Very true.
And I believe you met Jenny Garrett.
Yes. What a lovely woman.
Yes, and she was a host here on PLV for quite some time, and then just simply, you know, too many demands and busy because she's such a vibrant energy, another migrant woman there. And so, you know, this is what's so beautiful, and this is so what's beautiful what I'm doing here, is that I get to interview people from around the world, and I have hosts that are around the world, and, you know, hoping to branch out into the UK and have some more UK hosts over there. And that's what's so beautiful about it, is that it doesn't matter where we are, we're all connected vibrationally, and we all want the best for each other. And when we realize that, and it's not competitive and combative, and it's cohesive and collaborative, the empowerment that we give one another and our community and our society is just wonderful.
And probably the biggest fear I've noticed recently in people is just the fear of being too late or not having enough, that it will, there will be like a shortage of this supply, the abundance, and that suddenly they have to just rush to get it. And all the media, they create this sort of like a drama, you have to hurry up right now, and that creates additional stress and fear that if I don't make it in time, I miss out. And
yeah,
and there's an abundance of everything for everybody. We don't have to be in kind of in a competition with each other. We can support each other, and then we can just become stronger through that.
I mean, energy is energy, and you know, the more volume you put to that frequency of that energy, the more that energy serves everybody.
Exactly.
And so it's the importance of is actually placing importance of that energy. And when you're around like-souled people, like-purposed people, the energy that you give each other and in support and collaboration just exudes out as an invitation to everyone else. So working together is essential.
But it's a lot of work that needs to be done to introduce many people to this philosophy, to this way of thinking.
Yes, well, we're doing it.
Exactly.
Bit by bit, show by show, article by article, you know, exactly. Person by person, we're doing it. And that's the persistence thing. Just go for the domino effect. You know, one person tells one person, and, you know, off it goes. And that's the way it is. And all we can do is inspire and invite, which is what we are doing here today. So we're coming up to the end of that time now. Will you please let people know how they can get hold of you? First, your magazine is in The Migrant Woman. It's in the actual magazine. You're in the November edition.
Yes, that's correct.
And you can get that also by the www.migrantwoman.com/Isabella-, I'm going to pronounce this, spell your name, NIEWIADOMSKA-Survivor. But if you go to Migrant Woman magazine, you will find it. And of course, we're affiliated with them, so you can actually see it here on the site. And you'll see her article in the magazine there. So I encourage you to read it and learn more about her. And then if you let everybody know your site and how they can get hold of you and your Global Health Herbalife one.
My Herbalife website is www.total-wellness4life.com, four as a number. My new website will be finished by the 28th of this month. So it will capture all the areas of my activities in regards to health, well-being, and my workshops as well, and on personal development and stress. It will be under the heading of IzabellaNiewiadomska.com. So my name, my full name.com. So it will be ready in a few days. And Twitter at 24 Wellness, 24 as a number. So Twitter at 24 Wellness. If someone goes into the magazine, at the bottom there are also links to my Facebook page and my email address, which is totalwellness@btinternet.com. For those of you who are maybe in the United Kingdom and you'd like to get hold of me on my mobile, that's 0768 953 149. So these are my contact details. That's what I can say. I believe some of those contacts, they are posted with the link attached.
Yes, everything is on here, so it's just a click away. And I know, just, you know, great for following your path. You know, great that you, you know, listened to your panic attacks and allowed it to redirect you. England's gain. And, you know, and obviously you were meant to be with Herbalife. And so, you know, everything led you to that. And thank you for paying attention to your calling and to the work that you're doing today.
Thank you very much, Sarah. And thank you for allowing me to speak on your show and share my story with people. I hope that maybe it just showed some hope and light for some of the listeners. And maybe they got some inspiration out of my story as well. So I just say I'm really very grateful for being here with you.
Well, when you see an opportunity and it requires you to step out of your comfort zone, or it requires you to go above and beyond, because it's going to give you that foundation of meaningful purpose and also sustainability, be prepared to work at it. Be prepared to face those challenges, because the more you do, the more you're going to get out of it. So, you know, find something you believe in, act on it, and commit to that action.
And just the last thought. It always, I always remember Jim Rohn, and just his words of wisdom. They always kind of come at the probably my time. And I would like to end that with his quote: "Don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Don't wish for less problems. Wish for more wisdom." That's something I've been trying to follow through my life, through my journey, and I just hope that it might also give some food for thought for the listeners.
If everything was easy, everybody were doing it and nobody would feel it was worthwhile. Okay. And everything does get easier when we have the knowledge, because we know how to do it better. So, very good statement.
Very, very true. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you very much, love. Until the next time, folks, please be kind to yourself by investing in yourself. Speak to you soon.